I'm a Leo woman. I'm not one that do a lot of hugging and whatever like that. Under a Leo sign, as they say, I don't believe in the sign because they say, what sign are you? I say, I'm under the sign of God, you know. But as they say, a Leo is a strong-willed person, but love deeply. And that's what I know myself as, being a Leo woman, strong. Because life make you strong.
Hello and welcome to Season 2 of Lori's Hands Community Voices. I'm your host, Jennifer McCord. This season, we'll hear from clients of Lori's Hands' newest chapter in Baltimore, Maryland. Each week, we'll hear from a different client about their life, their stories, and their community. If you're new here, you're welcome to start here, since each episode can be enjoyed on its own. And if you're new to Lori's Hands, you might want to head back and take a listen to our intro episode from Season 1, which gives you some background on the organization that links all of the people you'll hear from in this series. This week, you'll meet Rosetta Pearson. I interviewed Rosetta with the help of Charlene Myers, a student at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, or UMBC. At the time, Charlene was also volunteering for Rosetta through Lori's Hands, and the two of them were fast friends. Here's Charlene.
You know, she's truly amazing with her words, and she's so encouraging. So even from day one, we had just had a connection. You know, it was like, this is my confirmation. We were absolutely meant to pair up, you know. And I told her, I'm not even gonna call you no client. You are my friend. Like she said, she feels as though she know me forever, and that's a good feeling.
Enjoy.
My name is Rosetta Pearson. And I'm a Baltimorean. I'm 67. I'll be 68 August the 21st. Charlene, I need a card. I live in the East Baltimore area. Been in the East Baltimore area practically all my life. If I was going to take y'all on a tour, number one, I'll take you down, keep on down, and show you Broadway. As you go down and cross Broadway, you will see where they done built up brand new townhouses and stuff. I'll take you to Boston Street. You have all your outlets, your stores, and everything you have. Oh, beautiful spot down there where you go down there and feed the ducks. Further down, you could catch a paddle boat. Used to be there. I don't know if they're still doing a paddle boat over to the Science Center. And even then over at Pratt Street, oh my God, Little Italy. Oh, come on, you ever eaten Little Italy? Come on. But that's if you keep on down Pratt Street, that's where you're running to the Inner Harbor. Baltimore is so enriched, especially East Baltimore, because like I say, they're building it up. Because by me living here all my life, I mean, come out my house and they had built and made a brand new street I didn't even know about. You know, I'm like, good God, where did this street come from? But it's so much. I say in about 10 to 15 years, this place, you won't even be able to afford to be able to move into it. My daughter was going into high school when I moved into this home I'm in. But I had a townhouse before I moved in this, and then I had the opportunity that I could move into the East Baltimore area, and it was a new development coming up. And I said, okay. I got me a house here. And I was proud because I was a house owner. I go out and I talk to everybody. New neighbors, I welcome them. And whatever like that, I tell them. Everybody knows me, usually. If not, I make myself known. And if it's a problem, whatever, if I can help you, I'm there.
Rosetta remembers the first house she grew up in, too, with her aunt and uncle.
My aunt raised me. And she was about 400 pounds. My uncle was like a string bean. I called the mom and dad. They raised me. She taught me how to cook and do things to stand up for myself. Oh, my God. She was beautiful. She was just a caring, beautiful woman. She would, I could see her face. She used to have the waves up, and she had pretty long hair that came down her back. She had the waves at the top of her head and has this great big bun on the back of her head. She grew a beauty parlor and everything. And she would get up early in the morning, put her makeup on. She never was out makeup. And you know what? And when I came up, I would never go out without my makeup. Oh, my God. Well, I was back in the day. I was terrible. When I think about how I was back in the day, I was fabulous. But God don't like you to be vain, but hey, it is what it is. And the food, her food was unbelievable. I liked when my aunt would show me how to cook. And on Christmas, we have all the festivity. That's why I can cook. I used to watch her and then she'll make chocolate cake and whatever and lick the bowl. I always got the chocolate bowl, you know. Ew, and her macaroni and cheese. Girl, I can make some macaroni and cheese that make you smack somebody.
When she was a teenager, Rosetta moved in with her biological mom and dad and her siblings. And it was a big change.
I hated being ripped away from my aunt's house and my uncle. I don't know, it's like a bittersweet little taste in my mouth when I talk on that, because it's like, okay, you know, I need you to wash the clothes. I need you to fix the dinner. I need you to clean the house. I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. I need you to watch your brothers and sisters. It's like I was taking on a role, and I was like, these ain't my kids. My brothers and sisters, you know. I wasn't a baby no more. I was a big sister, and I didn't like that. I liked being a baby, being cuddled and stuff like that, nurtured. And my grades were so good, you know, when I was with my aunt and uncle, because I was free. I was free to think, and I knew I was loved. So it was never a link, tight link between, I respected my biological mother, but I loved my aunt, Loretta, mama to me.
Rosetta had help looking after her younger siblings from her older brother, but things changed when they were in high school.
My older brother, he was something. He was trying to boss me. But what happened one day, he was playing ball, and he was playing ball and sweating, and he went up on top of a roof to retrieve the ball, because the ball went up on top of the roof and everything. And the wires, the house was supposed to be abandoned, and the wires electrocuted his head, and he fell off the building. And they took him to the hospital, and he died. That was the first downfall, the first death that I had really, really experienced.
Sadly, this wasn't Rosetta's only loss during her childhood. While she lived with her aunt and uncle, Rosetta had made friends with a girl in her neighborhood who was deaf.
And me and her used to ride our bikes together, and she would teach me sign language. She was the sweetest little. I remember her. We used to spend time together because she couldn't hear the cars and things. I would hold my hand out so she would stop and different things like that. And she liked riding the bike and stuff. And then what happened, I came home one Friday. I was able to come home. I was so happy. And my aunt set me down. And the way that they didn't blot out things to me, because I was kind of like a sensitive child, they knew I was in a delicate state. She told me, she said that she wouldn't be around anymore. And I was like, why? Did she move away or whatever? Because I was ready, you know. After I did my homework and everything, I could get my bike and go out riding, you know, and I always look for her. Well, instead of going outside to get my bike and get my bike and all, I had to go down to the funeral home. My aunt took me down there, and a car had hit her and killed her. Then I was saying to myself, I felt so bad. If I was here, maybe this wouldn't have happened to her. But oh my God, you're talking about burdens on a young girl's shoulder.
Even with so much on her shoulders, Rosetta graduated high school. She went to Bay College and then got a job doing data processing.
Then I found out that wasn't for me because I'm a people person. I'm not a person that want to sit in the office. So I didn't like it.
She also got married and had a daughter.
I was right out of high school when I got married to my first husband. And I just don't know. Maybe it was just something to do. My daughter just hates it when I say that, but I was in that madly overwhelmed with him. You know, it was like, oh, well, it's something to do. But my second marriage, now that's what I call a marriage.
Rosetta's first husband died from a heart attack when their daughter was in middle school. And it would still be years until she met her second husband, Charles. And she remembers this as a hard time, raising her daughter and working full-time as a home health aide. But Rosetta got through it the way she gets through anything, with love and with her faith.
I believe in God. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I believe in praying. And first, before I do anything, I believe in asking God, is it the right move I'm making? I was out on my own after my husband died a long time raising my daughter. I didn't have no time to make no mistakes. And not only that, my greatest fear was if something would happen, like if I brought the wrong person in my life and they would bother my daughter and cripple her for life. Not physically, but cripple her mentally. I raised her. I worked 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what I worked raising my daughter. And she was strong. We used to say, as long as we stay together, we're unbeatable. I prayed and asked God, because I'm a Leo woman, I need a man that ain't never been married and don't have no children. I said, I want me a good guy. I've never been the party type of person or drinking and carousing, cussing and fussing and all that. I don't believe in that. I ain't raised my daughter around it. So what happened? I was sitting on my steps. We sit there. I would talk to all the neighbors and stuff. So any case, I was sitting there and the guy came across the street. Charles came across the street. And I was like, So he said, oh, I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Charles. I said, oh, okay. Nice meeting you. I said, you know, like I said, I would talk to anybody. So any case, one day he rang my bell and said, hey, how you doing? I just stopped because I was in the neighborhood to holler at you. I said, he sure is being persistent. I'm kind of tired. Don't even know I got to fix dinner and stuff. I got a long day in here. But I mean, I'd spoken, you know, stood in the door and talked to him for a while. And I said, oh, well, I'll talk to you later. He said, no, I wanted to ask you, maybe if you're not doing anything such and such day, would you like to go to the movies? I said, I ain't been to movies in a long time. I said, that almost sounds like a plan. But maybe what I got to do, I got to give you an answer later. I ain't want to seem like I was hard up. I ain't had a date in so long. I was like, I'd almost forgot what to say. And I told my neighbor next to me, Leon's wife, Vanessa, I said, you see him? I said, girl, I done made up my mind. He going to be my husband. I say he the one that I've been praying for. So any case, his job has sent him to California. So while he was in California, I didn't know I really could miss him, you know. So, you know, I was like, maybe he is the one. I mean, I was slouching around and stuff like that because I was so used to talking to him on the phone and stuff like that. Well, any case. The phone rang and it was him. I said, oh my God, I was wondering. And he was telling me, he said, when I come home, we really got to talk. He said, because you know what? While I was out here, it's like the ground shook and stuff. He said, I ain't never felt nothing like that. He said, I ain't know what to do. I said, well, God got you. He ain't take you all the way that far to have you crash up or earthquake or something like that. I said, don't worry about it. He said, I can't wait to get on that plane and get home. So when he came home, I was at my job and everything. Girl, he came in there, and I was like, oh, you look pretty good. I mean, so you ain't no worse for weary, you know, whatever. He got down on one knee. I said, he must have rehearsing that. He got down on one knee, and what he did, he opened up this box, and he said, I want to know, will you marry me? I looked at him and I looked at that ring. I said, where'd you get that from, the Cracker Jack box? Oh my God. It was a pear-shaped diamond. It was real, because you know I went and got that thing looked at and seen if it was real. And I told him, I said, yeah, we could get married. Yeah, I'll marry you. He said, oh. He said, because you know what? I said, well, what you want to marry me for? You got these women running behind you and stuff like that. He said, I'm not looking for just women or women. I'm looking for a wife. And I'm getting married one time, and that's for life. And we got married. We were right there. I said, I don't want no big hoo-ha. I ain't talking my mother, nobody. It was him and myself and a friend of mine. And I still got the picture. A woman judge married us. And that was that. It was wonderful. It was. I'm telling you, let me tell you one thing. I'm a Leo woman. I'm not one that do a lot of hugging and whatever like that. Even though I'll do things for you to show that I care. He doesn't mind showing his affection. He said, come on, I need a hug. You know, or something like that, you know. I mean, and I'm like, oh, man, please. You know, no, I really need a hug. You know, I said, okay. And he was just, that's what had me to him. We was opposites. And he knew how to soften me, you know, because when you done gone through the just the ups and downs and working hard or whatever, sometimes you don't have time to just stop and say, oh, well, let me cushion myself. Let me pamper myself. Let me do this. Let me do that. He taught me how to love me. And he taught me how to take time for me. God is going to send good people in my life, because all my life, as I can remember from 14, because my mother was a private duty nurse that is taking care of people. I give so much, and it's so hard for me to accept for somebody to do for me. See, when you're a giver and you keep giving and giving to the poor. See, I was a foster mother too. I didn't care. I was a foster mother. Lord, I tell you, and I had boys. But it was a joy of me taking care and seeing something prosper and grow.
Rosetta worked as a home health aide for many years, while she and Charles had a son and then fostered and then adopted two more boys. Then, while she was raising her kids, Rosetta took a role with the Archdiocese of Baltimore. She worked as a counselor for people living with disabilities.
My place was to prepare them for independent living. You know, everything that you would do on your own, like if you was living on your own, and that they was capable of doing, pay the bills. But see, I would pull out their strengths. You know, you got to know what a person is capable of doing, and that's studying that person. Like I said, even if you, when some of mine that had their behaviors and stuff like that, you could almost tell when they was getting ready to take off or have a behavior problem or whatever. I had one that was so quiet. Donald, he's gone now. He was brilliant. That boy could write and read, and nobody knew it. I did. I took the time, because good God Almighty, bad as my spelling was, I say, Donald, how you spell such and such? And he would say it. He would sound the word, you know, the letters out, you know, real harsh, but he knew what he was talking about. I said, Donald, you know, boy, you brilliant. And see what I did? I gave him verbal praise a lot, you know. And then we would all get in the car with our sunglasses on and act like we was like the, what you call them brothers, the what, right brothers, what, the blues bro. They'd be bopping along and stuff. And honey, people would see us and say, look at them. Look at them. Girl, we was, oh Lord, I had fun. See me, I make fun out of it. I make fun with everything I do. And it's a pleasure, because you know what? They're learning. They're becoming self-efficient. That you ain't got to hold a hand. And then to the point where you want to come around holding the hands, doing everything, then they get insulted. I know how to do this. She taught me that. And that was my job. And I did it well.
Rosetta wasn't just an advocate for her clients. She was an advocate for her fellow employees, too. When counselors worked weekend shifts, they were only getting paid during the day, but they also had to be available overnight.
I said, I said, y'all ain't doing me like that. Let me tell you one thing. I looked up in the dictionary. A day is 24 hours. So if I'm getting working for a whole day and working around the clock on weekend and you never off, you can't leave the residence, you're not off, then I need to get paid. Oh, girl, they used to say, oh, my God, please let her be coming. Because when I came with facts. See, you can run your mouth and empty barrels make the most noise. But when you come in with facts, I didn't care if you was the Pope. I was going to let you know that you're not doing right by them. Okay, well, one weekend, they was, oh, God, it was a holiday. Everybody wanted their holiday off. I said, oh, y'all can say what y'all want. I done called downtown, and I ain't going in there till we get this thing settled. Girl, I was so scared, honey. When I went out there, that woman came from downtown. She was in there, looked over there. They didn't even know. And if they didn't know, she was acting like she didn't. They didn't even know they wasn't paying us for the hours that we were in there around the clock. Like I say, if you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything. And I opened up my mouth, and I bet you one thing, they had to go back. They couldn't go all the way back. Not on me for almost 20 years and pay me for all that time, you know. So they just gave us an incentive. I didn't care, long as the next ones that was coming along, that they was going to get paid. And that's what's happening today. Yeah. So I was a troublemaker.
Rosetta is retired now. Her kids are grown, and Charles died in 2008. But he's still very much alive in Rosetta's memory.
It was just a caring, loving man. He was so funny. Your mate has to make you laugh. And he has to know your ups and downs. And I shared my life with him. I shared the things that I went through. And he understood. And God sent me him. You know, and I'm going to tell you, it's the best thing in the world when you are loved. And when you are loved right, nobody else can come along and even tickle your fancy any kind of way. You be looking at, oh, please, I ain't going to let nothing taint how I feel and the happiness that I've known or whatever like that. And I guess this stage of my life, I don't want that to happen, you know. It's wonderful. It is, you can just live off that forever.
In our last conversation, Rosetta and I ended up talking about stories and what they've meant to her and her family.
A story is a beginning and an end to me. It's where you start off setting a foundation and build on that. And more so, a story is, nine times out of ten, it's true facts. It's life-altering situations and stuff like that that you pass on. Now, that's what my stories are, as I defined them. Sometimes a story is why you made a path in life this way. I recently shared a couple of real personal things that I was very upset about, and I shared them with my son. He always wondered, why mommy like that, or why mommy like that? But I told him, respect. And I shared a couple of things with him. I didn't know that. I didn't know that happened. I didn't know this happened. Yeah, well, if now you're able to absorb and understand what's what. Yeah, I think it's best to be open, because what is it going to hurt? It might help a person in the long run, you know. We should know the different things in our family that have taken place without shame. We should know the things that are hereditary in our family. And we should know exactly where we come from, what has happened, and without shame.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Lori's Hands Community Voices. This episode was produced by Charlene Myers and me, Jennifer McCord. Special thanks again to Rosetta Pearson for sharing her time and stories with us. You can find out more about Lori's Hands at lorishands.org or on social media. And we invite you to tune in next week to meet Vernell Murray.
Since I've been, when I was doing community activism, I've been on television a few times being asked questions about a community issue. And knowing me, when I was younger and coming up, I was very introverted. But when it came to doing community work and advocating for other people, I spoke up. And that's where I got my strength from, is knowing I was advocating for someone who couldn't do it for themselves.
Until next time, take care of each other.